Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna along with audio engineer Yatharta, signing in from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You're tuned to Thursday Live on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory. I hope you enjoyed the morning Vedam and Bhajans that came to you live from the Sai Kulwant Hall till just a few moments ago. We are now back at the Prashanti Digital Studios, and the time here right now is 9:40 a.m. Thank you for joining us on this glorious Thursday morning, March the 21st, 2013. The scene in the Sai Kulwant Hall right now is one of serenity. The morning Mangal Aarti has just concluded, and devotees are quietly lined up on their way to the blessed shrine, that is the holy Mahasamadhi of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Team Radio Sai wishes you Bhagwan's grace and guidance in all that you do today. Dear listeners, before I forget, please note that starting today, the ashram's evening bhajan will shift to summer timings. This means that Vedam will begin at 5 p.m. and go on for 45 minutes. At 5:45 p.m., the evening bhajans will start and will conclude with the Mangal Aarti in the evening at 6:30 p.m. So basically, the evening program in the mandir is from 5 to 6:30 p.m. In this hour and a half, we will have 45 minutes of Veda chanting and another 45 minutes of bhajan singing. In light of this rescheduling of the mandir program, the Vedam tutor on Radio Sai's Thursday Live will be preponed. It will now be aired from 4 to 4:45 p.m. And we promise that the 15-minute change in the mandir schedule will bear no impact on the quality of the Vedam or the bhajans. If anything, the power-packed capsule that we delight in delivering live to you in real time every single day will only improve with each passing day. You're wondering how and why? Well, all I can say right now is that good things come to those who wait, and I mean wait for the right answer on Morning Glory in coming weeks. By the way, have you ever been to Prashanti in late March? Years ago, it used to be quite hot at this time of the year. But somehow this year, the weather gods have been very kind, and the seasonal temperatures are lower than what you would expect at this time of the year. For instance, from evening through the night and to the morning, it's quite breezy and reasonably pleasant with temperatures in the mid-20s during the night. Daytime skies are clear blue with practically zero pollution, making our air quality excellent. The weather is crisp and warm for most part of the day. The daytime highs are in the late 30s, and that is Celsius. If it was not Celsius, we'd be somewhere near the North Pole, because 30 Fahrenheit would take us close to 0 degrees Celsius. These days, one can spot devotees walking around with umbrellas and sunglasses and hats to protect themselves from the afternoon sun all around the ashram. Now, on that sunny note, let's begin Morning Glory with Spotlight Prashanti Nilayam. Actually, Spotlight PN. PN, of course, stands for Prashanti Nilayam. Under Spotlight PN, last week, we had the medical superintendent of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital tell us about the very first medical facility that Bhagwan Baba set up as part of his healthcare mission. A few months ago, we had the director of the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum, Colonel Bose, tell us about this only multi-faith museum of its kind. Dr. Valetti Chaudhary, the director of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Prashanti Gram, has also been a guest on Morning Glory. He spoke about this unique super-speciality hospital under Spotlight PN. There are many such outstanding facilities and points of interest that we will try to bring you on Morning Glory under the series Spotlight PN. For instance, did you even know that the Divine Chancellor of the Sai University has created world-class sports and athletic facilities for his dear students in Prashanti Nilayam? And these include 233,640 square feet of space in the form of two stadiums. Just to put it into perspective, that is equal to three professional-sized American football fields. That's huge, isn't it? In crowded cities, children can't even dream of such vast and open spaces, and that too so clean and well-maintained. I guess most of you know about the large stadium, which is our Hillview Stadium, because that is where we have held all landmark birthdays, and every year we also hold the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools and university over there. But then there is the indoor stadium, also known as the Sri Sathya Sai International Center for Sports. Today on Morning Glory, Spotlight Prashanthi Neelam is on the Sathya Sai International Center for Sports, that is our indoor stadium, following a live studio discussion with the custodian of the facility. We have a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories lined up for you with Sai School alumnus Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam. So, dear sisters and brothers, brace yourself for the next hour and a quarter of Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Neelam, the seat of supreme beauty, ultimate truth, and all things auspicious. Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sai Ram, coming up on Morning Glory right here, right now, is a conversation with a special guest who has arrived in the studio already. Mr. Venkat Subramaniam is an automobile engineer by profession. Originally from the city of Chennai, he has been a resident of Hyderabad for a long period of time, where he was an active Samiti member at Shivam, which is the center of Sai activities in Hyderabad. Mr. Venkat Subramaniam has been a Sai devotee since 1967. He's been a regular visitor to Prashanthi Neelam all these years, and in 2005 he moved to the ashram to live here and was soon appointed the automobile engineer for the fleet of vehicles within the ashram. A year ago, that is in March of 2012, he stepped in as the custodian of the Sri Sathya Sai International Center for Sports at Prashanthi Neelam. Sai Ram, sir, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sai Ram.
Sir, we are doing a series of Spotlight PN, where we are focusing our attention on places of interest in Prashanthi Neelam. These include the various museums, schools, hospitals, the planetarium, college, airport, and of course the Hillview Stadium and the indoor stadium. So let's start off by learning as to how the idea of having an indoor stadium in a small place like Prashanthi Neelam was born, since we already had the prestigious Hillview Stadium since 1987.
Sai Ram, I offer my humble pranams and the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Now, before going into this indoor stadium, I would like to just review about the Hillview Stadium from where we switched on to this indoor stadium.
Sure, sir.
The Hillview Stadium was having an international standard cricket field. It was started in 1987. And we had an international match called Unity Cup between India 11 and World 11. With the reputed players like Tendulkar, Kapil Dev, Gavaskar and Dravid, etc. participated. This venue now holds a regular annual sports and cultural festivals of the Sathya Sai institutions in a very grand manner. Here we also celebrate the birthday of Swamis every 5 years in a very elaborate manner. Every January 11th, sports activities is a standing example of the exposition of discipline, dedication, and courage of students right from the march past till the end. All the program are time-bound, short and sweet. Swami takes special interest in the march past, and in fact in 1993 March, in the presence of Indian Academy of the Military Academy, Swami himself took part in the march past. So what other example one can think of Swami's abundant love towards students and interest in discipline life. Now, the concept of indoor stadium was planted by Bhagwan and one of the senior devotees in those times, and then he had given a good shape subsequently. Now this stadium stands as a divine gift to Sathya Sai students as a jewel on the crown. The vision of Bhagwan is to impart the holistic education, say the care, for developing the sound mind, healthy bodies, and matching with a spiritually charged environment to face the world with self-confidence, courage, without deviating from the sound principles of ethics and morality.
Yes.
Then why this indoor stadium when there is already a big Hillview stadium is available? The reason is, this is mainly to add extra facilities at the international standard, which is not normally available to anybody. This is a very gracious offer given by Bhagavan to students. Nowhere by any figment of imagination a student can dream of such a facility anywhere in the world without paying a single paisa.
Very true.
Very true. Now, the complex was conceived by Bhagavan in 2006. With his Bhagavan Sankalpa, the Bhumi Puja was conducted on 7th of July 2006.
So it's almost 6 years old. 7 years, yeah, coming up.
And amazingly, the entire construction was completed in 134 days.
Wow, it's phenomenal.
Phenomenal speed with which it was conducted, leading to the inauguration by the ex-president, by the President, His Excellency Dr. A.B. Abdul Kalam, on November 22, 2006. This incredibly fast work could be possible only due to Bhagavan's grace, who was visiting the site on many occasions during the construction to encourage these people.
I still can't believe that it happened in 134 days because public buildings in India, by the time people send out tenders and approve of builders, and then there are so many glitches in the process, it normally becomes a five-year project.
That's true. Just to highlight the few points about that place, the place where they wanted to build a building was totally swampy and it was an inclined plane. It needed to be strengthened, leveled. Night and day people were working and to meet the deadline, pouring concrete all over the place. Heavy machines like jeep cranes of 85 tons and 45 tons and huge excavators and loaders and concrete mixers making hell of a racket at that place right from all these 34 days. Veritably forest of steel scaffolding was erected all over the place to do the construction. And almost about 700 people at a time were working at any point of time. This RCC frame column structure, topped by this steel space frame, they call it a space frame, which has got a three-dimensional effect.
It is
not like a conventional roof.
Oh, I see.
So that space frame on the top, that is full of, you can call it a jungle of steel, which is finally covered by elegant false roofing. There is a small interesting story in this part.
Please share it with us.
Swami every day used to come and see, and by the time this frame structure, everything was ready, he came for inspection. In his amicable style, he went around, he looked up, he saw this huge steel structure. Then he turned to the concerned engineer, "What is this? This looks like a factory. It is no longer a stadium. So what to do, Swami? Cover it." Yes, Swami said it, cover it. Covering is no joke because it is about 4,000 square meter area for which to get this false ceiling itself is an utopian scheme. It's very same size, same shape, very difficult. And the time factor is so limited. But for Swami's grace, this couldn't have been completed, and it was completed.
So there's the false ceiling.
False ceiling, a beautiful false ceiling.
Yes.
When people go inside the stadium, they see the beautiful roof. They don't know what in the havoc behind this. It is terrible. Once you go inside, you see, you will get a total chakkar. You will get a giddiness. Actually, you will get giddiness. So much of steel structure on top. And that is how the whole frame was. And it was actually, the design is Swami standard. It is not international. Everything is international standard, except the roof, which is Swami standard.
It is beyond international standard. It is advanced standard.
That is true. And the play area is about 3,100 square meters, surrounded by seven levels of gallery. Totally, it can accommodate about 4,000 people at any one time. And we have a special gallery for VIPs as well as guests in that area. What are the facilities we give is, we have a basketball ground once, volleyball one, two, badminton three, and table tennis seven. Plus, we have a gymnastic area where people can do the gymnastics on this floor. In addition, we have a tennis complex, multi-gym, squash court. Of course, the commemorative building in the center. This commemorative building is the 25 years completion of our university.
I see.
So all the activities of the university in the form of pictures and videos are played and are displayed and played.
It's like an exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
I see.
Whoever comes into the commemorative building, by the time they come out, they know what Swami has done. All facets of life, all facets of work.
The only chancellor in the universe who would make such facilities and conveniences for his students.
And that too in such a short time. The fantastic
speed. And never ever, there's no money involved as far as students are concerned. This is just an incredible story.
That is true. And at the outdoor tennis court, we have four outdoor tennis courts, which one is a floodlit court.
I see.
Even in the night you can play. With all the nights and the flooring is all as per the international standards, including the size and the width of the painting, everything as per. What you see in Wimbledon, you will see the same thing here.
Oh, wow.
No difference at all. And there's a gallery for about 600 people to sit around.
For the tennis courts.
For the tennis courts.
But this is over and above the 4,000 who can sit inside.
4,000, yes. Over and above this one. Similarly, a full-fledged gymnasium. That is a comprehensive array of bodybuilding equipments and conditioning equipments. That is, and also we have a treadmill that is for people beyond the age of 32 years, not for the students. Special yoga facilities areas is available, and also two squash courts in a separate independent building has been housed, for which recently we have included a platform which was necessary for the squash court. After I came here, we took over and finished that platform, by which the strength of the squash court has increased from 10 to 40.
Wow.
So much of participation because students are very happy. So this type of small things are going on. And they have a perimeter road for jogging all around. And the building is surrounded by lawns and hedges and plants and the like. The commemorative building is a unique construction of RCC shell design, exhibiting all the photos.
Was all this designed here in
house? All designed here.
I see.
All designed here. And all the pictures and positioning and this, everything has been, of course, under the guidance of Swami, the whole thing has been erected. And the space under the galleries and the stadium, all used for guest rooms. We have restrooms, we have meeting rooms, a dining hall, and office.
Very well utilized.
Very well, completely utilized. And also we have a small workshop for doing all this. And we have our own people. We do all the maintenance work with our own people here.
It must cost a lot to maintain such a nice
facility. Yes, it does. It does. Only thing is we don't say it in amount, but it does a lot. Because, for example, I can tell you about this flooring.
Please. It's something very extraordinary, I hear.
Absolutely extraordinary. It is not just a cement flooring as one can think of and put a mat on top of it. There is a cement pack and an RCC slab first. Above the slab, we have a damp-proof membrane. Thickness, the full thing is membrane, is spread on this and fixed onto this. Over this, there's an insulation sheet, so that no seepage, nothing should come, nothing should come on top. On top of it, you have an elastic layer of 10 to 14 millimeters thick plastic web that is glued with a semi-finished layer of glued by a plastic, special plastic. And the whole thing is about 4 to 5 layers of structure on this flooring. What we see outside is a beautiful finished piece, but it has so much below.
On top is wood, isn't it?
No, it's a special material. It's not a wood.
Okay.
It's a special plastic material. So that when the children are playing, they should not get hurt.
So much thought has gone into it.
And similarly, when they are coming for play, they are supposed to have the special shoes. all and sundry cannot come and play. So the special shoes are provided. Sports shoes are provided for this to play. So, and that is, and all are as per the Olympic standard. The total cost of the flooring is about more than 50 lakhs.
At that time.
Seven years ago.
In today's money, if you factor in the inflation, it must add up to a lot more. That's incredible.
That is true. And you want to ask some questions?
Yes. What I wanted to ask you was, now this is a world-class facility. Who can access it? Who is it open to?
It is open to only students of the university, such as Sai University. We are not encouraging the outside players to come here. This facility, even though it was envisaged to have the world group players to come around, but somehow Swami felt that this facility should be made available to children, because this is one of the biggest gift which Swami has given to students, because no student of this type can avail this facility anywhere in this world.
When you say university, what about the schools?
Schools and universities. All are included.
So only they come in the mornings and evenings?
They come in the morning. We have given the timings for them, the children for their timings. They're about morning 6 to 7, the higher secondary school takes over. 3:15 to 4:15 again, higher secondary. Then evening 4:30 to 7:30, the university students, alumni, and also the staff.
I see.
Previously, not much of staff or anything coming. That now we are encouraging the staff to come. So in the last 1 year, the participation has increased more than 30%. And people making use of this one.
So you took over this the job of the custodian, the responsibilities, only a year ago. Who was taking care of this beautiful facility prior to
Mr. Shivdev Singh, General Shivdev Singh, who was responsible for running this event. In fact, one Mr. Shivdev Singh and our chief engineer, Mr. Satish Naik, they are the two persons who are totally responsible for making this to operate as a stadium. Because there was a lot of problems initially they had. They really slogged all these few months and got the whole thing done up. And now it is a jewel in the crown because of these two people.
Yes, and I noticed that the Central Trust held its press conferences there, and I saw the media persons walk in, and the look on their face said it all. They couldn't believe that in a small place like Puttaparthi, they could enter a facility. They were so wide-eyed. I could see their jaw drop literally when they looked around and saw what we have to offer there. Now, I can't think of another facility of this standard anywhere, whether in Bangalore or Hyderabad or between Bangalore and Hyderabad.
That's right.
But when the students use it, is there any sort of a user fee involved?
Here, in this stadium, we also run the press conference.
True.
Annual press conference. And also we have some musical recording programs, because we have a total audio-video equipment available here. So that also we are doing it inside. And some special cultural program which the students would like to have, we do that inside, because the facility is available. This is being used.
Yes, I know the students do their January 26th sometimes, and August 15th programs inside. But my question is there a user fee for it, for the students?
No, absolutely no user fee at all.
Everything is free.
Everything is free. Totally free.
Incredible. Imagine having access to such a facility in a city, how much it would cost a parent to send their child there.
That's right. That is totally free. No, this one. And public is allowed to view this stadium between 10 to 11:30 every day, all through the week.
So 7 days a week, dear listeners, 10 to 11:30
a.m. They come in there. And the normal, the visitors, number of visitors per day is around between 700 to 800 people. And some of the function times, it is running in thousands. But otherwise, normally, there are around 700 to 800 people are visiting.
So perhaps when devotees are done attending the Aarti and the morning Mahasamadhi Darshan, they can stroll over to the indoor stadium and have a look at what a jewel Swami has created for his students.
Many have no idea about the stadium. Once they come in and see inside the hall, unsupported hall of 3,100 square meters, no pillars anywhere, with a beautiful setup, they simply open their eyes and say, what is this?
So that would be about 30,000 square feet of space.
Yeah, 30,000 to 40,000 square feet, including the sitting area and all, put together, absolutely no pillar.
And I love the way so spick and span. Every time I go there, I can't. And the gardens, they're so well maintained.
This garden and also this flooring, we have the maintenance team, what they do. Every session, morning session after the boys goes, the whole thing is cleaned again. Again, when somebody in between walks in, you will see as if the stadium was done up only yesterday.
Yes, it looks that brand new.
It's always brand new. For two things. One is not only thanking these maintenance people, we should thank the children. They are highly disciplined.
They're Swami's children. They have to be.
They don't misuse with the right type of code, the code of conduct, whatever, the type of shoes wear, the dress wear, code, everything, they stick to it so that there is no damage to the floor. In fact, 50% credit should go to the children. That is why Swami said, my assets are my children.
Yes.
It's true. It is very true. And we have some important milestones of this.
Please share them with us.
Other than the inauguration, we had an exhibition basketball match. Harlem Globetrotters came on November 20, 2006.
I remember that one, yes.
They came in Swami's presence. They did it. One interesting fact about this is, one of the players, 15 years ahead of this program, he had met Swami.
From the Harlem Globetrotters.
When he met Swami, Swami told him, you will come and play in my stadium. That time, there was no stadium, no talk about stadium, no talk about the university. And this statement had no meaning for that player at that time. But it did reveal Swami's divinity when he came. This has actually happened.
Oh, I know. And that is so incredible. Everything Swami said always came true.
Yeah, that is. And then the volleyball match we had between India and Sri Lanka in November. Gymnastics display, the gold medalist came in November, and basketball between India and Sri Lanka in 2007, and international badminton match was there in 2007. But subsequently, they were not encouraged much of the outsiders coming and playing because Swami's wish
is to keep exclusivity for students.
Exclusively for the students. Mm-hmm. That's why.
I do recall that when it was inaugurated, Kapil Dev had come and he was so wonderstruck by the facility. He said something along the lines of, if only we had more such facilities, India would do so much better in Olympics.
Anybody in this condition with such a facility would have amassed money like anything. Uh-huh. Because just to hire an ordinary stadium, you have to pay thousands and thousands of rupees, and that too, the hours are fixed. If it is 6 o'clock, you have to be out at 6 o'clock. Here, everything is free, no time limit, and students can never imagine to enter a facility like this. Yes. It is only professionals who have been trained and played for years can only think of such a stadium. Mm. This is one of the wonderful gifts Swami has given.
And the stadium continues to evolve itself. I believe after the Mahasamadhi also, there has been improvements, ongoing work, especially with regards to the squash court.
Yeah, what we have done is squash court. Normally, we must have a gallery. The gallery was not done because normally we have either a glass wall or a gallery will be there because for the instructors to give instructions to the students when they are playing and also for the visitors to have a look. Otherwise, they have to go through the peephole only. Mm-hmm. So this, we made my secretary was kind enough, asked me, you do it yourself. We have done it. And we have not taken any extra outsiders. We have done on our own. Beautiful.
I believe there was issues with the ground. There was leveling was required. And then Swami answered your prayer. You needed some soil. For the squash court, you needed some soil to fill up.
No, that was at the time of construction.
Not at this stage.
Mm-hmm. But the platform was required because nobody could see how these children are playing.
Oh, I see.
That is why. Now that has been constructed. Like this, we keep on adding. In addition, we have some other things also we do in the stadium. There are some open space available behind the tennis court, which is just lying waste, barren land. So we could cultivate. Now we are producing a lot of vegetables and supplying to the canteen. That is also Baba's wish. For surprisingly, some of the PG students, they come forward every Sunday in numbers 50, 60 people at a time. except one of a few Sundays, they come and do the voluntary work. And when they came to the vegetable garden, they were thrilled. They said, we will work only in the garden, plucking tomatoes, plucking all this, doing all this type of work, removing the weeds and all that. So they really enjoyed doing the village work. And that is another factor.
I guess that comes very spontaneously to our students.
To our students.
Yeah.
And that's why it's happening.
There's a deep sense of commitment.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And we have a special recordings facility also in our stadium.
Like an acoustic
program can be recorded, music can be recorded. All the facilities being now extended to the students because this is a part of our program in addition to the games. And
so right across from the Sri Satisai International Center for Sports is the driveway into the Hillview Stadium. And would you like to tell us a little bit more about that facility? That's the outdoor stadium that we always, our viewers and our listeners see on our videos, and they have attended many functions. Would you like to tell them a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this Hillview Stadium, this is our regular sports meet is there every year, January 11th. And Baba's birthday every 5 years being conducted.
All the landmark birthdays. So the next one would be the 90th birthday.
90th birthday. In addition, we have some of the functions. Sometimes we do a big Narayan Seva business and all this.
Yeah.
For poor feeding. And once in a while, there's a big area is required there we use. And the capacity of the stadium itself is more than 30,000 people at a time, you can say.
In the Hillview.
In the Hillview Stadium. And maybe some Deepavali functions sometimes also is taking place over there. Plus, regular cricket match and the football match, students fully use it.
Right behind their hostel.
Right behind the hostel. Cricket matches every day is going on. Football also is every day is going on.
So this these facilities, how do you maintain them so well? What sort of staff do you have involved?
So we have four staff. And each one is earmarked. One is a plumber, another is a civil fellow, one fellow is an electrical fellow, one is a mechanical repair work, and another is fellow is meeting all the accounts and all this. So each one has been given a decided area to operate. Even though he is a mechanical fellow or a plumber fellow, he has been given an area of this. And that area is divided into 7 days. 6 days in a week, from Monday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. These are all the things he has to do. So it is already typed and then kept. He will come in the morning and then tell us, this is the thing I am doing, so it is for me to go and check if things are being done. Like this, in a systematic way, that maintenance is being done. In addition, we have special gardeners and sweepers. There are various area also is earmarked every day they go around. And
so these are paid staff?
All are paid staff.
And do you have any support from Sevadal?
No, we have a lot of Sevadal coming, about minimum 10 to 12 people coming here. They are the people who are just managing the gates and also this. When the visitors come, they are taken in and around and all this. Either they don't meddle with any equipments. That aspect is taken care of. Sevadal is a must and they are contributing a lot. In addition, whenever we give an extra Sevadal, they go to the garden and other places, they do extra work also. That is also being done in a professional way.
Well, is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners?
Well, I am really happily enjoying my job given by Swami. This is one of the best jobs I can ever think of getting. I never dreamt of it. And I am able to, in a small way, like this squirrel did in Rama's case, I am doing in a small way what little I can do. And I hope with Swami's guidance I will improve.
It's very nice of you and very humble of you to say that, sir. And thank you for sharing this excellent information about this world-class indoor stadium that Bhagwan has built for the exclusive use of, by his students. So, dear listeners, you just heard Mr. Would you like to add something?
One more thing
I
would like to add.
Yes.
One point I missed which I wanted to add.
Yes.
A lot of remarks by people who visit the stadium, we have a spirit book which runs in thousands. I won't be able to get all the thousands. Mm-hmm. Then it will go in days. So I just picked at random.
Oh, yeah, sure. Please share them. Read them to us.
One man says, excellent, beautiful, very well maintained complex. I could not help my tears falling down. We could find the presence of Swami. These are all some of the foreigners. Another person says, world-class state of arts facility, awesome. It is very true. The minute he just walks into the stadium and sees this, he just opens his mouth. Oh my God, what is happening here? Because in a village, such a facility. They have an example of Swami's love for nation and humanity. Because who will give without even accepting an aya paisa free for everybody? International level facilities made available in a rural area. That itself is a great service, which is unthinkable by any standard. And manifestation of Swami's love for mankind. That's one. We can learn a lot about the creation and the creator.
Wow. Sublime.
Sublime. Of course, many more are there. I just picked up five, six of them. So we're sampling this one.
And the person wrote, we can see the love of God for mankind, I would say, and also for his students.
For
how
his
much,
students.
How Swami doted on his children.
He is something like, it is Lord Krishna as he treated Gopikas. Here, this Lord Krishna treated his children as Gopikas.
Very true.
Exactly the same way.
Thank you, sir. It's been wonderful having you and learning all this great, the inside scoop behind the indoor stadium, behind the scenes details. And I urge all our listeners to take note of the fact that 7 days a week between 10 a.m. and 11:30, you can stroll down and have a look at this fantastic facility. And don't forget to go behind the indoor stadium. There are beautiful tennis courts, squash courts, and much more to see. See the entire complex. And it's so refreshing to find such a clean and well-maintained place in our country, actually, because we can go to all those major stadiums and you have people spitting stuff that they chew and all kinds of marks and dirts and graffiti on the walls. But this is one spotlessly clean, well-maintained Sai indoor stadium, the Sri Sathya Sai International Center for Sports. Be sure to visit it next time you're in Prashanthi Nilayam. You've heard all about it under Spotlight PN on Morning Glory. Thank you, sir. Great having you.
Thank
Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam.
So, this live interview, as I told you, was part of our Spotlight Prashanthi Nilayam, and I hope to bring you a lot more such interesting information and conversations about various places of interest in and around Prashanthi Nilayam. Now, apart from the Hillview Stadium and the Indoor Stadium, did you know that Prashanthi Nilayam has its very own planetarium? Next week, under Spotlight PN, you will enjoy some exciting information about the Sri Sathya Sai Space Theatre and how it came about. Don't forget to tune in, same place, same time. Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sairam, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam is 10:17 a.m. and today is the 21st of March 2013, and my name is Karuna. Dear listeners, did you enjoy that conversation with Mr. Venkat Subramaniam, the custodian of the Sri Sathya Sai International Center for Sports, also known as the Indoor Stadium, here in Prashanthi Nilayam? Has it inspired you enough to want to visit it the next time you are in town? If so, then please do send in your feedback via email. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. It's now time for today's feature presentation, a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Over now to Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishu Prushti.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today, we have with us Brother Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't the name so beautiful? Almost, it inspires in you a sense of reverence. Anyway, so Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam is here with us from the temple town of Tirupati. Interestingly, today is February 17th, 2013, and this evening the passing out students of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School are going to offer to Bhagwan a gratitude program for all that they have experienced and learnt studying in his school. And Madhav, who is here with us now, is an alumnus of this school. He joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in 1984 for his 8th class and continued till 1989, till his 12th class. Later on Bhagwan's guidance, he did his engineering in computer science in SV University in Tirupati, After this, he moved on to the US to do his master's in computer science in the University of South Carolina. He worked in Boston, US from 1997 till 2011 in the telecommunications and networking area, and again on Bhagwan's direction in April 2011, he took the decision to return to India, and he's so happy about it. So he's back in his hometown in Tirupati now. And what is also interesting about him is when he was in the US, he was very actively involved in the Sai organization's activities. In fact, he was a youth coordinator in Boston for 2 years, and later on the regional young adult coordinator for 7 states in Northeast US for 2 years. And his relationship with Bhagwan actually dates back to his early childhood, because he comes from a family which has been blessed immensely by Bhagwan, by Bhagwan's physical proximity. So there are plenty of stories, treasure in his heart, and we hope to get a glimpse of that today. Welcome, Madhav, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram. Sai Ram to all listeners. It's a privilege to be here.
I'm reminded of the time when I saw you first in Tirupati. That was in March 2012. We were there to attend the inauguration ceremony of the Tirupati studio, Radio Sai studio in Tirupati. And once I reached Tirupati and went to the Sai temple there, and I saw the beautiful temple. It was almost a replica, exact replica of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. In fact, dear listeners, if any of you have not seen the Sai temple in Tirupati, you must see it, because it is such an amazing, almost you say Prashanti again in this temple town of Tirupati. It's a Puttaparthi in Tirupati, I should say, a Prashanti in Tirupati. And when I saw this structure, I was very keen to know about the story behind this beautiful edifice, and a Sai volunteer there took me to your home, saying the story begins there. So that is how I saw you for the first time. So please, Madhav, share with us that story first. How and when did this beautiful Puttaparthi and Tirupati come into being?
Definitely. Actually, this goes all the way back to 1981-82 time frame. It's also the time when my parents actually got introduced to Swami for the first time. As a tribute, if I may, I'd like to chant a small Sanskrit verse that was part of a compilation that my father had composed.
So he was a composer?
He actually wrote a lot of Sanskrit poems and Sanskrit slokas and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And he even composed tune for it, but at least I would probably just keep it to the lyrics.
Okay.
It goes like this. Yasya prabhavaha sutara magamyaha yasya akrute purna dayamburasihi Anandado yashcha drishtipataha tam satya saisham aham prapadhye. This was part of how Swami brought my family into Sai fold. But to get back to your initial question of the idea of having a mandir in Tirupati, was a seed that was started probably early 81-82 time frame, when my father and a few other devotees in the Tirupati area felt that they needed a place where they can have several service projects. They had visions for having even educational service projects for children, underprivileged children, all that. At that time, there were a couple of Sai Center bhajan mandals, which were happening in rented places and things like that. But with Bhagwan's permission, they started the work on blueprints. That's how it started. I still remember, I think the architect, the Sthapati they call, who was brought in from the Tirumala Tirupati Devasthanam, who is an expert in constructing temples in Tirumala, happens to be Swami's devotee.
Wonderful.
And he had drawn out extraordinary details of all the layout and the diagrams of front elevation, top elevation, all the elevation. And everything was brought to Swami, and Swami blessed it. And then they went back and did the foundation stone and all that. I still recall being in many of those pujas in those days. I was a probably 9-year-old kid or something like that. And there were many small, beautiful experiences even in those where they're giving Harati, and in the photos you can see that there was no picture of Swami, but Swami's appearance sort of in the Harati flame.
Mm-hmm.
And when they break the coconut, there's auspicious flower inside the coconut. All the small, small signs that Swami is constantly guiding us in every way. And then the mandir progressed quite a bit from 82 on. 280, 384, and then they were at a time when they had to do the slab, the first level, the ground floor slab, and they were getting a lot of support from local devotees and a few others from overseas. But at that one time, I still very clearly recall an incident, a beautiful story that I'd like to share, is that they wanted to finish the slab. It was half finished or something, and they needed money for finishing it. But at the same time, Swami was guiding every way of the step, and Swami's principles always have been, we're not ever going to ask and solicit funds. And so they were praying Swami intensely, and my father had come to Patti to show the progress as he was doing for every time he visited, every 3 months he would show the progress, and Swami would be so happy looking at the progress. And this one particular interview, Swami, actually my father had not mentioned anything about the fund crunch and all that. But in the interview, only Swami and he were there, and Swami was talking, inquiring about several things. My father was a Sanskrit professor in the Sri Venkateshwara University, and he was also chief editor of publications in Tirumala Tirupati Devasthanam, had published several books, translated Rigveda and other Vedas into Telugu and English.
Wow, great.
So Swami always used to talk to him about those things, and several nice conversations used to go on.
So given his background, he used to have very lovely conversations with Swami.
Extraordinary.
That too, he being a Sanskrit professor in a central university, wonderful.
Eye-catching and nice to hear conversation sometimes. And Swami, of course, used to put things in a very simple way, and my father would just nod his head, yes, Swami, I mean, can't be anything simpler than that.
Even Swami's Telugu, they say, has a lot of Sanskrit in it.
Yeah, that is true.
And Sanskrit is the Deva Bhasha. Deva Bhasha, as they say, is the language of the gods.
Language of the gods, yes.
Yes.
So in this case, Swami was talking about all the things, and he used to inquire about family and devotees, several others by name sometimes. And suddenly he got up and he went into his personal room, and he came out with a checkbook. He put it in my father's hands, and my father was very pleasantly surprised and kind of shocked to what is this kind of. Swami said, I know you need money to finish the work.
He never mentioned to Swami.
No. And then Swami said, write the check, how much you want, how much you need.
Oh, you write the amount?
Yes. Swami asked, Swami gave him the checkbook and said, you write the amount. And then my father, he came out of this kind of like a little bit of a shock, but then he started writing, and they needed about a lakh to finish the slab, I think, at the time. And so he was putting one and counting the zeros carefully, and Swami teased him saying, you don't have to count the zeros, you know, just write the check and I'll sign it, because it's good work and good work should go on.
Fantastic.
And that's how close attention he had paid to this mandir in Tirupati.
So visibly and invisibly he was guiding us.
He was always guiding us in so many ways. They finished the mandir, and there's a long story behind the whole completion and inauguration and all that. But to cut it short in a few words, Swami's mandir was completed in about 7 years or so. By 89, the mandir was completed and ready for Swami to come and inaugurate. And almost every time, irrespective of us asking or not, Swami used to say that he would actually come and inaugurate the temple himself. So we constantly prayed that he would come, and several times Swami almost came physically, of course. And the mandir was actually being maintained, but there was no activities, no bhajans or any of the activities were not happening, no seva activities, nothing was happening. And a lot of devotees were kept on asking, because my father was sort of he was the chairman of the team that was behind this project. That group was called the Sai Krishna Charitable Society. And so, irrespectively, he was the person who everybody used to come and ask, whether they were involved in the mandir or not, they would come and ask the questions. Say, why is the mandir locked up and why can't we have our activities and those kind of. This created several pressures on him, and only because of Swami's grace that he was able to answer them without hurting anybody at the same time, and at the same time making sure that Swami is happy. And eventually it's Swami who has to say,
yeah, waiting for Swami's command to
that is begin the ultimate
project.
I felt from what I saw in that, the master-disciple relationship between Swami and my father was that he would do what Swami said to the letter, to the period to the full stop, kind of.
You need to have really very firm faith.
Yes.
Because there will be a lot of tests.
There's a lot of tests, and it's good for the person who is going through that, even though it might feel harsh. And my father and all the devotees, of course, who were part of the project, they patiently waited 89 to 2000.
To 2000? Oh my God.
almost 11 plus years.
Hmm.
The mandir used to be, there was people to clean up and keep it nice and all that. But Swami, eventually in 2000, one day Swami, after, I think it was Guru Purnima, time frame, one of those festivals, after the discourse, Swami came into the devotees and in the VIP section, and Swami used to ask several times, he used to come to my dad after the discourse, and he used to tease, he used to say, "Ella undi sir, na discourse."
Oh, you used to ask him,
"How was, sir, how was my discourse? Did I say the correct things in the Vedas?" And my father, he used to always say, "I mean, Swami, you are Veda Purusha, and you're asking me this, what can I say?" But in this time he had come and he told my father, without actually any of these other questions, he came directly and said, "How is the Sai Krishna Mandir?" And Swami, we are waiting for you. That's the only thing. We want you to come and bless us and we can start activities. Then Swami said, "Actually, I'd like you to inaugurate the Mandir." He'd appointed him as, I guess, his messenger or his representative. And right away, my father...
Took that as Bhagwan's command.
That was his command, and that's what we should do. And they inaugurated it, and 2000 onwards, they have been having wonderful activities. But as you mentioned earlier, it is, whenever I look at the mandir, I go back to my school days when I started my school in 1984, and we used to be mesmerized by those beautiful sands and the trees and the mandir. And that's something that I cherish every day in Tirupati, because mandir is actually right across from my house.
Just in front of your house. You're just living next to Prashanti. And as you mentioned about the Prashanti temple mandir here, you know, I also remember my school days. In my 11th and 12th, I would come to the mandir with books in my hand, but I remember I would never open the books, because once you come and sit in front of the mandir, at that time you did not have the Sai Kulwant Hall, you didn't have the canopy, so the dome area and the entire thing was available in the background of the sky.
Yes.
And you used to be always in awe looking at the mandir and different little things happening in different corners of the mandir. There would be a pigeon there, and there would be so many beautiful things happening. And you know, in that setting, Swami coming and showering his grace and talking to boys. When he's there, you look at him, and when he's not there, you close your eyes and you relive those moments. I never really opened my books in mandir because the whole ambience was so enticing.
I can relate to what you're saying. You take the books and you'll have so many plans, like I'll finish this and prepare for the test. Now, but none of them even occur in your mind.
Yeah, but I guess the other learning that was happening just by sitting there was perhaps more powerful and more profound than the education that we'd have got from reading those books.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, go on with the story.
So that was how the mandir developed, and I should mention that one of the key people in supporting that, obviously with Swami's permission, was one Mr. Ura Gandhi, who is a gastroenterologist in Lexington, Kentucky, a staunch devotee of Bhagwan. And Swami, when he was once, when he visited Tirupati, and he saw the mandir and everything, and he was more inspired to give as much support as he can by looking at the progress and how much support even the local people have given and how much blessing Swami has given for the mandir. He came along and Swami blessed him, and Swami talked a lot about his family and his wife. And that person, I just wanted to mention that he was very much instrumental in the
Looking at the beautiful structure, definitely it almost seems obvious that a lot of people would have put in their time, effort, energy and resources to make it happen. And that is so palpable looking at that magnificent edifice. Tell me more about your father, because he definitely had such a beautiful relationship with Bhagwan. Being a Sanskrit professor and being Bhagwan's instrument and his messenger to do different things.
Yes, absolutely. My father, was, as you might imagine, he was a very staunch Vishnu devotee as a Vaishnavite, and he never entertained any other forms of God in the house, including Shiva, mm-hmm. or any of such things. At least my grandfather was definitely that you cannot chant the name of any other God but Vishnu.
Oh my God.
Very, very staunch and very dedicated, and lots of prayers and all those things. But my father was definitely less fervent that way, in the sense that he, being in the teaching field and so on and so forth, he had relaxed some of those things. But still he was very bent on the thing that even though he knew and heard of Swami, never entertained such things, ideas in the house. But my mother was the one who knew about Swami even before she was married. And then she always prayed to Swami that someday my husband also will realize, kind of thing. And it happened that in 1981, one day my father had severe fever and toothache. And as you might have heard, and from many other experiences, Swami enters our lives in some way, almost as a...
our tragedies.
Right? Some tragedies are opportunities. Adversity is opportunities.
Yes,
so
yes.
He was going through severe pain and a lot of painkiller medication. And apparently, I mean, I was also there, but I was a little kid then. He fell kind of asleep partially, but he started chanting some Sanskrit slokas, verses, which one of them was the one I chanted earlier, but he chanted 21 Sanskrit slokas, and my mother had the timely thinking to say, let me write them down, jot them down. So she jotted them down as he was chanting them. And later on, she put vibhuti and everything. And then in the morning, the fever was gone, the toothache was gone, and my mother then told him that you chanted these Sanskrit verses when you were unconscious or partially asleep. And then he was very surprised that how can, you know, he compose or, you know, these kind of lyrics and with so much intense bhavam behind them for Swami, on Swami. While he actually never believed in him, or he
so
never...
So it was all on Swami?
Yes, it was all completely on Swami.
And he had not yet become a devotee?
No, absolutely. He was pretty much actually kind of against such things. And that's when he thought something beyond my control, something else is happening. So he entertained the idea of seeing who this person is. Why has he come into my life in this way? That and he always questioned. He was in the Sanskrit, his PhD was on logic, Nyaya, Mimamsa, and Tarka. That was what they call logic. And he always argued and questioned the fundamentals, even in Vaishnavism. As much as he was a staunch believer, but he was only a staunch believer because of his probing questions that he was able to answer to himself. But in this case, again, he was questioning what's this, and so as any sane questioning person would do, was trying to find the answer for it. He agreed to join my mother and come to Patti for the first time in 1981. That's how it started the journey of my family in the Sai. As I used to say, actually, personally for me, journey with Swami, there's no beginning or no end. It feels that way. It just feels like it. Part of the journey is happening now, but it was, the starting is somewhere and...
began,
right?
Much before
you even knew yourself. That's how I feel. And this was just a milestone. I'm sure the journey has always been happening, but just a milestone that we remember. My parents came and Swami blessed my dad. He was sitting with a lot of his books that he had edited. He wanted to offer them at Swami's feet if Swami spoke. Swami came and... Swami said, "Kaha se aaya?" And then,
"Where do you come from?"
Right, and "Where do you come from?" He replied in Telugu. But that one thing that my father believed, and he used to tell me, was that the question is not because he didn't know I'm from Tirupati, or not that he didn't know I was a Telugu person, but I think Swami is saying that I was part of his previous avatar in Shirdi as well, and he was talking to me, and that is the connection he was making with me. That's how he believed it to be. And then he took all the books, blessed him, and he himself carried all this big bunch of books into the interview room. That's how we started. That was the first time the interaction started. And my parents actually got an interview that time. And I was also there with my uncle in the sands, in the lines. And we didn't know the protocol or anything like that. So when we saw my parents get up and go inside the interview, we were not sure what to do. So I thought, since my dad was waving to us or something like that, maybe I should get up. And so me and my uncle got up and started running into the veranda. And there was some commotion because we were not sure what the protocol is. And there was the volunteer, I think it was Mr. Keldas, who was in the interview room those days. He saw us and he came and he started asking, why are you coming? And then we tried to communicate. But meanwhile, all of this commotion, Swami just put his hand like this as if to stop. And so they immediately took us out of there and they asked us to leave. But my parents went into the interview room. And I want to share a small anecdote there in the interview room that got my attention personally, which was in the interview room, Swami spoke to them about so many things, about me, my uncle, my sister. My mother said, Swami, my son and my brother-in-law haven't come in. They're feeling sad. Swami said, I know. Your child, he draws a lot. I know, he's an artist.
Swami said that.
I used to draw in the sands when waiting for Swami. I used to just draw his hair and the big halo hair. And I just enjoyed drawing his picture in the sands. But Swami told that to my mother, and that's how he made the connection, saying, I know him. And one thing he mentioned I want to share is that when you water the tree, you don't water every leaf. You water the roots, and the whole tree gets the nourishment. And similarly, my grace will be with all your family members. Don't worry about it. That's what he said in the interview. And they shared this after the interview, obviously. And that was my first kind of an experience where Swami, as much as I know, he knows every one of us. There was like, okay, you exist.
A physical acknowledgement from him.
From him.
Yes, wonderful. Parents kept coming to Prashantalayam very often.
Yeah, my father was initially the Sanskrit professor in university. Eventually, he became the vice chancellor of Rashtriya Sanskrit Vidyapeeth in Tirupati. And during those 5 years of his tenure, he also was nominated by Swami as the academic council member in Sachisai Institute of Higher Learning.
Amazing.
Actually, that's a funny incident I want to share. Is my parents are from Guntur, and they eat a lot of hot foods and stuff like that. So what I want to say is that Swami, as much as he teaches us how to live a good life, he also teaches us how to live a happy life,
yes,
mundane life. Because after all, we are in a mundane life and we cannot ignore it. So small things he used to take care of, and that. So one of the times when they were here for the convocation, I suppose, we were in the round buildings, and Swami had arranged for a boy to student or one of the volunteers to bring a carriage with all the food for lunch. And my mother didn't actually enjoy the food because there was no pickle, hot gongura, avakai, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So she made a passing comment that the food is very sattvic. Oh. Swami actually in the interview room, he mentions that.
Oh, he mentioned that.
Guntur, you want hot avakai, you want pickles, right?
You cannot eat without pickles, yes.
And he took care of it. So,
Anikumar sir always used to refer to this because he also is from Guntur, and he say, he cannot manage without
that's
these side dishes.
Yeah. One incident actually that Anil Kumar uncle and father were in the summer course in Vrindavan having lunch, and Swami came to them and called the boy, come on, bring more avakai to these two people, both are from Guntur. And so he to make sense.
That's his love.
And so parents were, of course, yeah, they used to come very regularly. In 81 to 83, obviously, they were coming regularly. But in 83, they had this thought that maybe they can, if they have the opportunity to put me in the school.
Mm-hmm.
But they discussed it with me on a trip way back to Tirupati in 83. What do you feel? And I definitely said no. And I had my own friends and cricket and my random schedules and whatnot. I enjoyed.
So you didn't want the discipline life in Prashantalayam.
Didn't want anything to do with discipline. And in that 83 trip, actually, I was sitting in the first row in the sands, and my first lesson of discipline and my indiscipline, a check to my indiscipline came from Swami directly. Swami was giving darshan and he came, stopped in front of me and he created vibhuti and I thought he might be giving it to me, but he was actually, he created it for the person next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was putting the vibhuti in his hands, I interrupted and put my hand in the middle and he made a big eyes and he's like, hey, that's all he said, hey, and he pointed his finger at me. And within a second he changed and he's full of smile and joy and beauty. It immediately scared me. I felt like I did something really, really wrong. But at the same time I could see the twinkle in his eye and the smile and I immediately felt very comfortable that Swami is all forgiving Lord. That was the first experience of mine in the path of discipline. And then maybe he also meant, that's how I perceive it, is that just by saying that, and
warning
me that he's, okay, I'm now going to have to take care of you. that's probably what happened. And so, on the way back, we discussed and my parents proposed this and I was not happy with the decision or the proposal. And we went back and nothing happened for a few months. I was happy, jolly going. But the year came in 84 and Swami had given an interview and they asked Swami for the blessings. And Swami said, definitely talk to the principal and have the child write exam interview and all that. And we'll take care of from there, right? I came for entrance exams. Actually, to be honest, I actually was in the English medium school in Tirupati, but I never spoke English. I never really could construct a valid sentence in English. So I have to say that if it was for my talents, I would have failed miserably and I would have been somewhere else. But in all compassionate Lord, Swami, even though, I mean, I did math well, I suppose, but English was pretty much a zero. The topic I still very clearly remember was, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And okay. They asked me to write on that, an essay on that. All I knew was friend means friend. So they're asking me to write something about a friend, so I should just write something about a friend. So I wrote about my couple of my close friends. I didn't know anything better, but rest is history, I think. That's
wonderful. So you found yourself becoming a Sai student, much against your wishes. So how was the experience after that?
First day of my experience in hostel is eye-opener for me, actually. So I didn't know how to communicate with anybody. The only person I knew, because my father introduced me to him, was Warden Sir Narasimhurthy Sir. And he knew Telugu, so any problem, I would just go to him. But first day, I didn't know that I was supposed to bring my own plate and tumbler and this and that. And so some commotion was happening, the bell rang for dinner and so everybody was going. I said, oh, I guess I should go. I started going. I went to the dining hall, stood in the queue, looked around and everybody was carrying plates and all this and I wasn't sure what to do. And I just couldn't communicate really with anybody. I was also a little bit scared that maybe I did the wrong thing. Whatever. So I just went back to Warden Sir's room in the office. He was not there. So I went and knocked on his room in the corner in the A floor. And luckily sir was there and I told sir, naaku plate ledu. I don't know what to do. I don't have a plate. I'm not sure what to do. And I thought, since I know the warden, who was in my mind was the king of the hostel and I'll probably get a royal treatment from him. He said, I'll give you my plate. And he just went in a little and from his cupboard he brought out his plate and glass. To me, first thing was that it was a beautiful lesson to me that I've never seen outside, where a strange person suddenly says, I'll share my, personal thing with you.
Wonderful. You could have asked any other student to ask, yes, to give his plate, or you could have asked someone else to get from anywhere else.
Yeah.
But he just gave his own plate.
He just said, I'll give you my plate and glass. Don't worry about it. And then I thought, you know, since being a warden, he would have a silver plate or something with a gold lining. But that didn't happen either. That was another shocker to me, a lesson learned. And the first night in the hostel, he brought this aluminum plate, which was so worn out. And that was the plate he was using for a while, I think. And that's a lesson to me, was like simple, so simple, you know, living so simple, yet having high ideals. And that was my first day in the hostel. I can very clearly remember that experience. And then many beautiful experiences as we went along in the classrooms, or simple things such as One time we had conducted an exhibition, photo exhibition in 10th class, where we gathered all the pictures that we took over the years with Swami, or otherwise put a nice exhibition, and we invited Swami to come, and Swami had come, he inaugurated the exhibition, a lot of time spent with all the boys, and then he had given a discourse in the prayer hall. And I just want to share this experience, because I think that is something we all should, or at least my personal perspective is that we all should aspire to have that kind of craving for God. God may be anything for you. It doesn't have to be Baba. But what you think is God, you should have that craving to have that relationship with that entity. So in the middle of the discourse, somebody brought a tender coconut with a straw in it and gave it to Swami, and Swami drank some and gave it to the person behind him, put it in the back. And after the discourse was over, Swami left. Many students actually just got up and rushed to the back of the podium and started looking for the coconut tirtham prasadam, they took it to be, and the straw that Swami drank with. Unfortunately, what happened was there was a pack of straw that somebody tore open, so all the straws fell apart.
Oh,
so everybody started taking a straw from that and saying, this is the straw Swami drank with, this is the straw Swami drank with, this is the straw, you know, this is what I have. That's a beautiful experience. I cannot forget, where just a small sign of the love the students had for Swami. We want to have the prasadam from Swami. We want to keep that straw with us as a memory from that, you know, that exhibition and the whole experience. I like to share that remind us that,
yes,
you know, we should try to have that kind of a,
yes,
relationship with God.
Actually, that reminds me of one very beautiful incident. I will say it very quickly, though it is your interview, but cannot resist,
sure,
sharing this, because it is so much on these lines. In Vrindavan, we have these three sessions with Swami inside Tari Vrindavan, and you know, after the bhajans, all the boys rush inside, and one day it happened that the boys, as they were dashing into the Tari Vrindavan, some of the flower pots got broken and etc. I know they went and dashed and you know, trying to get the prime position next to the jhula, because you know,
yes,
you have the
you
chance there
push,
that yeah, you can push Swami's stool, you can actually
have Swami's feet on your
palms,
yes,
you know. So one of the elders who was there, he said, Swami, this is absolute indiscipline. I mean, look at the boys, how they are dashing and coming. There is no discipline. They have broken all the flower pots on the way and all that. You know, Swami just kept quiet. And then he said, tell me, in which other place in this world do you have youngsters who are so mad for God?
For God. Oh, what a profound,
I mean, that only
way
that,
to say
that
it.
Only the avatar can do.
Can,
I mean,
yes,
only when God comes down, when the divine master comes down, you know, it's easy to teach values to smaller children at the school level, but at the university level, people who are doing their bachelors and masters and PhDs also, you know, clamoring for that straw of that,
yeah,
love to hold on to.
Yeah.
I think that is something which
we can almost certainly say it, absolutely. We cannot,
yeah,
see
that. That is what Bhagwan is. Anyway, go on.
Beautiful. So these were small happenings in my life personally, as I progressed through the classes, that sort of built up the bond between me and Swami. And one thing I so strongly believe, like Swami says, God is neither distant nor distinct from you. And in Telugu also he says, Devudu anaga ledu vere deshamlo. God is not in another distant country or distant place. God is right within you. You are God, he says, right? And that is something that personally for me was also a very eye-opener kind of thing, coming from a staunch Orthodox family, where we were always doing a lot of ignams and, you know, lots of prayers and this and that. But to me, for one of the earlier experiences was that God is really so close to you, I mean, that you don't have to look for him here and there, and you don't have to be confused about it. It's a simple thing. And that's something that I learned from studying here.
Mm-hmm.
Is
you
that,
build that really intimate,
yes,
relationship with God.
With God. That intimacy and the love, and that you can actually experience God. It's not this fuzzy thing, fuzzy entity that lives in some heaven somewhere that nobody knows about. No.
Yes.
It's right within you. heaven, hell, everything is within you, right? Yes. Swami. So, my mother taught me that also, even before I started my school, a small aside, but a small experience that also built my faith in Swami was that my mother said, you can challenge Swami. I mean, challenge him. I mean, if that's what you want to, that's fine. As a young kid, 10-year-old, I necessarily didn't know anything, but I knew that, okay, there's a lot of prayers going on and you pray and you get something from him, that kind of transaction, commercial God transaction. But that's all I knew. But my mother said, you know, if you really want to ask Swami something, ask him directly. I don't have to convince you to. But since you draw well, why don't you draw a picture and put it in the altar and Swami will answer your prayer. So I did it with full faith because my mother said it. Not because I had faith in Swami, but because my mother said it. And as Swami always told me and Swami says to his students, your mother and father are your gods.
Yes.
They are gods in parents' form. If you cannot
living gods.
Right, take care of them, then there's no point in believing in God. That's what Swami taught me. Mother said it, so I'll do it. I drew a nice picture of Swami and put it in the altar. And lo and behold, next morning when I took shower and went for the prayers, I saw there was a lot of vibhuti on my drawing. That kind of got me a little bit more into like, okay, I mean,
He does listen.
He does listen to our, whether it's a challenge or a question or a prayer, for him, it's all the same.
Swami was already working. On you.
Sai's Glory, His Divine Story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. The time in the studio in Prashanthaniliam right now is 10:56 a.m. You just heard a new episode of Fleeting Moments Interview, a popular series wherein we bring you conversations with Bhagwan students. As always, we look forward to your feedback to today's conversation with Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam. So please keep the vibe flowing. You can email us at listener@radiosai.org. And dear sisters and brothers, I'm very pleased to inform you that you can enjoy listening to over 140 such interviews on our website at your leisure by going to the link radiosai.org/sci-students. I repeat, radiosci.org/sci-students. Sci-students is one word. It's now time for me to bid you Sai Ram and offer morning glory at the lotus feet. This is a very grateful Karuna from Team Radio Sai signing off and thanking you for your company. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and stay inspired. Before I hand you over to my colleague Brother Raghu, here is the magical voice of the form that God assumed during his visit to earth in the form of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram.
Hari Nama Bina Ananda Nahi. Hari Bhajana Bina Sukha Shanti Nahi. Japajana Bina Sam Yoga Nahi. Japajana Bina Sam Yoga Nahi. Prabhu Darsha Bina Prajnana Nahi. Daya Dharma Bina Satya Karma Nahi. Daya Dharma Bina Satya Karma Nahi. Bhagwan Bina Koi Apna Nahi. Hari Nama Bina Para.
శంకర నమామి శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో హే శివ శంకర నమామి శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో గిరిజాపతి భవాని శంకర హే గిరిజాపతి భవాని శంకర హే గిరిజాపతి భవాని శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో శివ శంకర శంభో శంకర శంభో హే శివ శంకర నమామి శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో హే శివ శంకర నమామి శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో భవాని శంకర హే గిరిజాపతి భవాని శంకర హే భవాని శంకర హర భవాని శంకర శివ భవాని శంకర శివ శంకర శంభో Hey, see what's in.